Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Update with Living Compassion. We have this afternoon what I think is a special treat. Sridevi and Teresa and I check in each week, and we were having recent conversation. This was late last week, and there was just so much that Teresa was talking about, and it was so inspiring that we just paused and said, we got to hit the record button on this. And so that is the conversation we're about to hear, where Teresa is speaking about basically the educational support that's being offered right now during the pandemic. I often, when we have conversations with Teresa, will reflect back so that folks can understand what she's saying. Sometimes the connection is hard, and sometimes the accent is something that people just aren't familiar with. I didn't do that in this case. And so if you're not able to understand everything Teresa says, don't worry about it, because I'm going to come on briefly at the end of the interview and do some reflecting. So, Michael, I think we're ready to play the interview.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. A phone call right now with Sridevi and Teresa, and we're here doing our usual weekly phone call, and we just couldn't help ourselves. It's so unbelievably inspiring what Teresa is telling us that we decided to hit record and see if we could get this interview up on Good News Update. So, Teresa, let's go back to what we've been talking about is, you know, all of us doing our best in terms of, okay, what's the supplemental education we can do for these kids, right? They're at home. They're not going to school because of the pandemic. They don't have access, of course, to televisions, to radios, to iPads, to smartphones, to anything. They don't have access to any of the distance learning materials that are out there, nothing. So for a long time, we've been looking at what are we going to do? Well, one of the things that Teresa has started to do is to work with the teachers at TWABO, which is the school that our girls program, girls, attend. And so, Teresa, I'm not even sure where to start. Where do you want to start? Do you want to talk about what you've started to do with that teacher? And please do tell the story that sparked our conversation this morning about that one mom who came to you.
Okay. I have been talking to this wonderful woman. She's a teacher at TWABO school, where our girls go to, in terms to help these children during this COVID-19. She had offered that she would give us material that would be English material and mathematics material. We have done that, and we have been reprinting that material to share with our girls, our grade 2s and our grade 6s. So what happened was on Wednesday, when I was at the property, one mom came to fetch some water for her home use at the Living Compassion tap, which is very clean water. And she approached me as I was sitting on our porch there at Living Compassion. She told me that she had a grade 3 daughter. So she also wanted to have a share of the material that I was distributing. And, yeah, it touched my heart. I had a copy, so I gave her one. That child is in the nutrition program, but she's not one of the children that go to TWABO school. In a way, she was so excited when I gave her this material. She complimented Living Compassion, and she said, you are the most wonderful project that is going on here, because you keep on thinking about us, keep thinking of our children that are there in the community.
Oh my gosh. And then you said she took it home. She started working with her daughter, her daughter who's in third grade, and then her neighbor wants to do it now.
Yes. When she took it home, her neighbor also wants to do it. And she came back for her second round of water, fetching water. Then she said, my neighbor also wants a copy. Do you have an extra copy so that I can also give her? And then I told her, sorry, that was the last copy that I had. But I promised her that tomorrow on Wednesday when I go, I have done some copies, I will give the neighbor a copy. And I know that there are others out there that would be needing copies. So I've made about 50 copies, which I'm going to distribute tomorrow.
Wow.
And Teresa, the, the funds from that are coming from the cooperative funds, right? That there are things that, so the cooperative runs the, charges a tiny bit of Kwacha, just a little bit of money for the water tap, to keep the water tap up, just little ways that the cooperative makes income. That's what you're using to make these copies, right?
Yes, we are getting the little Kwacha from our water collection. That's when we are reprinting the books. In a way, we are helping a lot because children in Kantoromba have no access to television. As Jenna said, no iPad, nothing. Mm-hmm. They just play around. But these little booklets are bringing interest in them. Especially, I was so happy when I heard of a mom asking for that copy. And the team itself was so delighted. And they were all said that it seems like everyone in the community has their ear to the door of Living Compassion to see what's going on, to listening to what's happening at Living Compassion. And once I know the mom that took the booklet, the other neighbor wants it. I know another neighbor tomorrow will come. Even I'm expecting more than 50 people coming to get the books. Yes.
Sure, Deva, I cut you off. What were you going
to
say?
Oh, no, I was thinking I wanted to make sure Teresa shared the phrase, they have their ear to the door.
Yes.
Compassion.
Yes. Okay. Tell us the Bemba phrase, Teresa, because it's so beautiful.
Yes, the Bemba phrase it says, Wadite amatui, which means the ear. Kutea means listening to everything that is happening at the Living Compassion door.
Yeah, I wrote go ahead.
I will email this word so that
Please.
It doesn't confuse people.
Okay, good. So when you first told us the translation, I wrote down, we have put a listening ear to Living Compassion. What are they doing now? What are they doing now? Because, of course, you're leaders in the community. People hadn't thought of this. Not only had they not thought of it, but they don't have access to the materials. Because Twabo, which is essentially a private school where our girls program girls are going, has the resources that the local school doesn't have. So you take that third grade girl, for example, she's in the local school. So it's so ironic. There's a way in which she may actually start to get a more focused education in this circumstance, because usually she's in a classroom with 70 other children, And there's no books. There's no photocopies that these kids are coming home with, nothing. It happens on the chalkboard. You either get it for the short period of time you're in the classroom or you don't. But now this child is going to have these Xerox copies with the undivided attention of her mom looking at the materials with her. I just have goosebumps all over.
And so extraordinary, Jen. And it just came like a thought, boy, and it's happening. I'm glad to say that it's happening. Started like something small. We started with our own girls that are in Twabo service. Now it will be expanding to the other children, the 1,000 children, if they can have a copy each. Mm-hmm. I'll be the happiest woman here in Kantoromba.
Well, and I would add in, you know, we were talking about, again, it's that experience of pecking on the shell and the little chick pecking back. And so here's this mom who comes and says, oh, I would like a copy. And then the neighbor says, I'd like a copy. And then what happens, though, is there's this wonderful connection, because Teresa, can you share that, you know, you first went to talk to this wonderful teacher at Twabo about, okay, can we support our grade 2 and grade 6 girls? But now what's happening? If you want to share what you and she are talking about.
Yes, this grade 6 teacher came with a brilliant idea that why don't we do from grade 1 up to grade 6? I can manage that if I can give a copy of English and mathematics in all the grades. Then every child in the program could have that opportunity. We will not restrict ourselves only to grade 2s and grade 6. Even grade 1 will have that opportunity. Grade 3, grade 4, and grade 7 will have that opportunity to have a copy or have a book. At least something to do instead of just sitting around and playing and have their meal, then off they go.
And this is a teacher who, you know, she's teaching at this private school that's, you know, I don't know, 45-minute walk away from Cantalomba. She doesn't know these other children, these 1,000 children. This is just something out of the goodness of her heart. When you went to talk to her, she said, well, let's not just focus on, you know, the second grade girls and the sixth grade girls. Let's do all of them. I'll get you the materials for all of them. Absolutely. I mean, it just,
yes.
Oh. As you say, it makes me the happiest person as well. We'll
yes.
have to arm wrestle for who's going to be the happiest person.
Yes.
You know, just
yes.
quickly, we have like not a lot of, maybe another minute or so, but just quickly say a little bit about, so we wrote that first book that people know about, that's gone out into the community, which was really the seed for all of this sparking, all of this starting to happen. And since then, Charles got the idea, Charles, one of the teachers, hey, maybe I could write a book. And from what you described, Teresa, at first he was a little self-conscious about it. You know, he's not done that kind of thing before. I mean, how do I write a book? But say a little bit about what you recently, when you were on the property and he was closed in the library and didn't want anyone to come disturb him. Tell us about that.
Yes, Charles has been very busy with his book. He would sit in the library to do his writing because at home, of course, the children are busy making noise. So the only place where he could write properly is in the library. So as soon as you try to open the doors, he would say, no, don't come in. I'm busy here. I'm busy right now. I'm doing something. You have to see this when I'm done, which makes everyone so happy that now we have a Jen here on the property doing something serious.
I cannot wait. And it's just, if he's keeping it top secret, right? As far as I know, he's not wanting to, I think maybe he's started to tell you a little bit about it, Teresa, but we have no idea what he's writing or how any of it until he's ready to show it. So we're just so excited to see all of that, because I think that's another thing, right? Then we get to see that book and maybe we get to publish that book and put that out there, and then the next person gets to write theirs, and it's just, it's endless what could happen from there.
Yes, it's endless. I had the chance to see what he's writing about, but he told me, no, do not tell anyone, so I'm keeping my mouth.
Okay. Okay. We won't try to get it out of you, Teresa. Well, I wish we had more time because there's so many other things we could talk about, but I do want to, we only have a short time for our good news update. So thank you to both of you for doing this, because it's just, we knew we had to share the excitement when we were talking this morning.
Thank you so much.
So thank you both for being with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's exciting.
It really is. Oh, thank you, Michael, for playing that.
Yeah, I'm smiling.
And, you know, oh, me too, smiling so much. And I realize we are already a few minutes past the hour. So I think probably, actually, between what Sridevi and I were saying, really most of it was reflected already. The thing I would just underline is what Teresa said, where she said, you know, it just started with something small and it's spreading. And where she says, I'll be the happiest woman when each and every one of those 1,000 children has those materials.
Yeah.
So it's really extraordinary. So I'm so happy that we got to play it, and I do promise to keep folks updated. And I mean, as I listen to it, it's all brand new to me, right? I just go through it, get all re-inspired all over again. So we'll have to find a way to keep Sangha really up to date with all of it, because, you know, it's our journey, and all of that is happening because of this Sangha. And so it really is, it's extraordinary, and I really want people to continue to be able to be a part of it in these times. So thank you for playing that.
Oh, my pleasure. And with the story about Charles, I think we'll all be waiting for that.
Yes, exactly.
For that book.
Exactly.
So another good reason for you to come back on very soon.
Yeah, exactly. And Teresa just revealed to us today, she said, I'm writing a book too. So.
Oh.
So
oh, wow.
Yeah, it is spreading.
Oh, wow.
All right, Michael, well, I'll turn it over to you and Sherry. Have a lovely show.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry. Sherry, are you there?
Now I am.
There you are. There you are.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that. Oh, my gosh.
No problem.
That was so exciting. That was so thrilling. And, you know, the thing that Jen said at the end is really true. I mean, they really do need to keep us informed. Because talk about some inspiring stuff in a time that, you know, there could be a little bit of a lack of inspiring stuff.
Yes.
And that, the thing that struck me so was the generosity. I mean, Teresa's generosity always takes my breath away. But that teacher, you know, it's
yes.
just that, as Jen pointed out, she doesn't know these kids. This is not,
right.
I don't know if we're just used to it in this country or something, but it's like, hey, you know, I'm overwhelmed. I have all this on my plate. I can't worry about doing, but for her, it's just, oh, yeah, let's do this. You know, let's get this
right.
information to as many kids as we can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 It's just, it's so inspiring. And I just love it. Charles is writing a book. Teresa's going to write a book. Oh, my gosh. I mean, this is how the world changes.
Yes, it
you
is.
Know?
Yeah, yes. And I just saw a parallel with practice there that, you know, the first book came out and then everybody sees, oh, it's possible. It's possible
yeah.
to write a book. And I come
yeah.
to practice and I see, oh, wow, these people seem to be aware and they seem to be happy. And
right.
there seems to be a way to get from A to B. This is great.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I want to know from Jan, and maybe she'll, I have a feeling she's listening, of course. I want to know, because I think what I understood to be said is Teresa's going to be the happiest person in Cantalomba when all those children have a copy of that book. I want to know how much it's going to cost for every one of those children to have a copy of that book.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I mean, how much can it be, for God's sake? And if that's what it takes to make Teresa Capenda the happiest person in Cantalomba, I want to be the person who assists in that process. Because, oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Yeah. It's really thrilling. And, again, you know, I always go to this place. We have so much. It's so easy to focus on we don't have, what
mm-hmm.
we don't have. They
mm-hmm.
have almost nothing. I mean, so close to nothing that it's just almost incomprehensible.
Mm.
And all they focus on is what they have.
Mm.
It's
yeah.
just, yeah, it's just, it's something. It's something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad we know them. And I really want to be supportive of Jen. Of course, I don't know, maybe Jen is just telling everybody everything all the time, and I, you know, I'm not paying attention or something. But it's just, again, you know, here there's this whole conversation about distance learning, and it's true. I mean, the divide between the haves and have-nots in this country, it's always been breathtakingly depressing,
mm-hmm.
and now it becomes more so. You know, the wealthy are paying tutors to come in, you know, their kids are getting ahead, whereas
mm-hmm.
so many kids don't. You know, they just but there nobody has anything. People talk about, you know, the kids are missing out on school. Well, these kids are missing out on everything except eating. That's the one thing that we do there that doesn't happen here, right? Because
mm-hmm.
here, if kids depend on school for food, then they're not going to school. They're really not eating. There, the kids are not going to school, and there is no distance learning because nobody has any ability to do that. Now, mm-hmm. I mean, there are wealthy people in Zambia, too, and their kids do have all of those things. Our kids certainly don't.
Right.
So it's
right.
just, yeah, it's just, it's, well, anyway, wound me up. It's so good. It's just so good to have the perspective, you know. It's so easy to get caught up in our little world. Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I think I've said this many times before, but that project to me is just pure goodness. Everything about it is so beautiful. And I always love hearing about it. And so it was fabulous to hear the latest tonight.
So I did get a text from Jen saying that Teresa is also going to take photographs that go with the book that she's putting together.
Oh. So
the ante is being up. Everybody challenging. Yeah.
I see. So, I see.
Yeah, yeah, that'll be fun to see.
Wonderful.
All right, yeah.
So how about some announcements?
Yeah, sounds good.
Okay. Join Sangha for a guided exploration of having the life you choose at the virtual What You Practice is What You Have workshop on Sunday, August 16th. Registration is required by 12 noon Pacific this Friday.
Hmm.
Yes, that's coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, I just read about that, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, it just was on our inbox, so, yeah.
Yes. Taking care of our bodies and minds seems more crucial than ever in these challenging times. An at-home gentle yoga series beginning this Friday, August 14th, provides support in cultivating and or strengthening a regular practice of stewarding the body. The deadline to register is Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific.
Mm-hmm. All right.
If you're already meditating in the morning or wish to start, enjoy the extra support of meditating with Sangha with virtual meditation groups. For a full schedule of these conference call meditation sessions, visit the virtual meditation group's webpage at livingcompassion.org. For all practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
And a few reminders for today's show. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, you can press star 6 and then 1 to make guest show. And a conversation on one topic of about 5 minutes is great.
Yeah.
All right, Sherry, I think we're ready.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. First caller,
Hi. You
are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yes, my name's Kate. I'm 42 years old. I live in a small town in northern New Hampshire in the Great North Woods currently. I've been reading Sherry's books, especially her Keep It Simple books, since I was 26 years old living in Colorado Springs. My favorite among them being the Fear book. I think that has helped me so much. Yes, in my life, it is such an honor and a privilege to be on the phone with you. I just, like, I have goosebumps myself. So, yes, I'm, yes.
Good. Well, let me ask you this, Kate. Do you have a copy of the revised edition of the Fear book or the original?
Now, this was 2004, 2003, I think. So,
I think we have a new one. So send in a little note with your address, and we'll make sure that you get a revised edition. We don't want you to just, you know, I mean, you could keep the old one because it's been a friend, right? But this new one has a lot of kind of fun, I think, we think, fun additions to it. So.
Oh my gosh, that's so wonderful. Thank you, because I feel like there's a part of me that's been dormant since my 20s, and it's like I'm waking that part of myself back up again, and a large part of it were your books. The major thing, and it's still something that I have to keep reteaching myself, is that especially the most wonderful aspect of that book that really sank in for me is that it is your know-how and intelligence that protects you, not fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge for me. It's like,
mm-hmm.
yes. And it actually, mm-hmm. When you're talking about helping young people have access to knowledge, you know, how do we empower people out of fear is to give them access to things to know to strengthen their intelligence levels about how to get through situations, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah, just, yes. Like, incredible.
Yes. Well, and, Kate, you know, that's if you were with us during the Good News Update talking about the kids in Zambia and Cantalomba, that's what you've just described is what happens there. Right, to offer to, in this case, young people, but also their parents and everybody else, options that that they haven't known existed. And the good news is that all of the options exist within us.
Yes, it's like, you know, that there's something within, you know, there's so many resources within that are so intensely powerful. Yeah, and I do some narcissistic abuse study as well, and there's a lot of teaching within that whole community of that there is more within than you know, and that you don't have to look outside of yourself to fulfill something that actually could be naturally granted to you within, you know, and it's just...
Yeah.
It's,
the only
it's
thing
deep.
About that, Kate, that yes, it is. The only thing that I would disagree with about that is that there is nothing that we need to find outside.
Wow.
Because there is nothing outside. And the difficulty that people run into. So you've been with us for a long time. So, you know, I divide things up arbitrarily, admittedly, because this division doesn't actually exist, but it seems to. So there is an authentic human being and there's ego. Right?
Yes,
and
I remember that's a lot. Yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's fine. But that's the thing. So people will say things like, everything you need is within you. Okay, that is a true statement. But you need to know where you're looking. Because if ego is looking inside you, you're in deep, deep trouble.
Yeah,
and
because
so,
I think...
Right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I just remember with your book, Suffering is Optional, that there was a lot of that talk of, like, ego is really the one that actually keeps perpetuating the suffering,
right.
I think, from what I remember, you know.
That's exactly right. And so when people say, you don't need to listen to other people. You everything you need to know is inside of you. Well, ego just grabs that and says, yeah, everything you need to know is inside you, so listen to me. And and then the person, again, is in deep trouble. So the whole thing that happens with awareness practice is that we are learning to differentiate between what is authentic human nature, and we'll usually talk about that as Buddha nature because that's who we are, or true nature, authentic nature, what a person actually is, And then this parasite that has been added on called ego that wants to come in and say, I this, I that, I did this, I did that, I think this, I know this, right? And that's the cause of people's suffering, not who they really are.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, and that's something that's going on right now in my life that I'm just like, I thought I conquered this, but I truly did not. And it's something about, I don't know, I'm not a psychologist, but what it is like, maybe I'm guessing it's learned behavior from my parents, is that my parents taught me worry, that, and then also punishment to others for making them worry. And I realized, and now I've discovered a lot inside myself of becoming this extensive, incredible worrier, and I just don't, it almost seems to feed upon itself. And it's like, it's almost like a worrying addiction, and like I can't get rid of it, and I just need help.
Yes, that is exactly true. Now, the one thing I would encourage you about is you are not alone, because what you're describing, so we'll let your parents off the hook here, okay?
Okay.
They grew up with people who worried, okay? And a lot of people grow up with people who worry, because people are on their own in the world, and their survival is something that they have to make happen. We're seeing that in this country a lot right now, where suddenly people don't have jobs, they don't have money, they don't have food, right? And that creates a level of anxiety that will either make you crazy or paralyzed, right? Because where do you go? What do you do, right? So your parents were raised to be afraid. Almost everybody is. Right? People are raised to worry about the future, worry about the past, worry, right? That's what ego feeds on. And so because it's what ego feeds on, it's what it fosters. And there's very specific reason that ego does that. Okay? Ego is an illusion, and it cannot even appear to exist in the present. So its focus is to get you to think about the future or about the past, because then you'll be in a conversation with it. That make sense?
Yes, and that's how it has control over you. It's like,
that is exactly right.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
That's exactly
so
right.
It is about remaining in the present moment, right?
That's it. That is exactly right. And Kate, the other thing that it's about, again, not taking it personally, because it's every human being. So, you know, and ego wants us to take it personally. This means there's something wrong with you. Now you've got another problem, another thing to worry about, right? So there's another conversation. You'll probably never get better. Okay, there's another conversation, right? You need to feel bad about this. There's another conversation. You need to be compared with other people who are clearly doing better than you are. There's another So we can see that by the time ego gets finished with us, it's like we are in this maze and all roads lead back to a conversation in conditioned mind with ego.
Oh, my gosh, and that's how it keeps you in control. It almost forces you to veer away from
that's exactly right.
Oh, my gosh, it's like a separation from
That's exactly right.
Oh, my gosh.
From what is actually so. Because as soon as we drop out of that conversation, even for a split second, we realize, well, actually, there's nothing wrong. I mean, right now, you know, we're just having this conversation. There's nothing wrong. You're breathing, I'm breathing, we're both alive. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing going on. But as soon as we turn attention to ego, there's a ton of stuff. Okay, well, first thing is, well, what are you going to do about it, Kate? Okay, well, what are you going to do? All right, well, that's fine, but But what are you going to do about it? Yeah, so don't fall for that one either. And what awareness practice offers us is an increasing ability just to notice it, whatever it is. Just notice what it's doing from a place of, and all I'm doing is just breathing and noticing it. I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to fix it. I don't need to change anything. There's actually nothing happening here. I'm fine. That's all going on. And as we practice in that way, we learn to see ego for what it is, realize that's not me. It's a voice. It talks. I don't need to attend to it. I don't need to take it on. I don't need to be involved with it.
It's wonderful because it's just been such a controlling voice of you're not doing enough and you need to feel guilty. And that really doesn't serve anybody.
That's right, except ego, right? And every one of those, that's the thing that you'll increasingly see. What all those voices have in common is they serve ego. They are there to get your attention, get you to attend to them, out of the present, into the past, into the future. Now, you're not a part of the year-long retreat?
No, I would love to be. I think at this point in my life and with Path, that, you know, like I want to be a part of things that are going to help me. Yes, I definitely would like to participate because it's very serious to me now. You know, my spiritual growth is the main priority in my life.
Okay,
so
well,
at this point, yeah.
It is prorated. People sometimes think, well, it's a year-long retreat and we're already into the year. But we're going to do this till December. And so if you want to look into it, you know, we do it every day. We get together for half an hour and we talk about this stuff. And it's a wonderful way to hear other people and how they process what's going on in their lives. So you might look into it just as another way of being supported, because this is the conversation this particular group of people is always in.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Thank you so much for...
And Kate, send the address. We'll get you an updated fear book.
Oh my gosh, yes, ma'am. Thank you so much, Sherry. This is just such a wonderful, amazing experience to be talking to you on the phone. It's
well,
just like, you know, in the session.
Let's talk again then.
Yes, thank you
so
much.
Let's not be strangers. Take good care of
yourself.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Good night. You're welcome.
Good night. Bye-bye. Have a wonderful night. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. And that was a fabulous conversation, Sherry. Privileged to be a part of that and to listen to that.
And it's just so true for all of us, isn't it? That's the thing.
Yes.
That the thing I just want everybody in the world to know is that we are not alone. We are not different. We are all going through. I mean, the little details of our lives differ, but the process of how we're caused to suffer, that's universal.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And we have another caller here.
All right. Thank you.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello.
Right. Hi. My name is Kate.
We are rich with Kate.
I know.
Tonight.
Yeah. I'm also 42. And
wow.
I know.
Well, live.
And I.
Where are you calling from, Kate?
I'm calling from the Sunshine Coast in Canada.
All right.
And yeah, I've been listening to this show for like at least 15 years, and I've never called in, and I feel super nervous, but it's also amazing.
Yes, well, since your twin just called,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and when I heard her, I was like, oh my gosh, am I actually doing this already without knowing it? So thank you.
All right.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm I'm calling because I'm going through a separation from my husband of 20 years, and I have all sorts of huge emotions with that, as you would expect. Fear and jealousy and abandonment and grief, and then there's a small voice that also kind of sees this as, hey, this is possibly exactly the path the universe wants you to take right now for your growth, and like
This might not be a completely bad thing.
This might not be what the other voice says, which is obviously this is the end of the world and you must do anything possible to stop this happening. But there, yes, that other voice is like, look, you know, this has been, you know, I know that this relationship was, you know, I hung on to it as this way of validating my existence in some way, right? If there was somebody who loved me, then I was... that I was okay, or I know there was so much more in that, mm-hmm. and been so long, and I just, there's, yeah, that little voice that's like, this is maybe what you needed to see, that even without this, you are, you can survive, and there's, yeah. But anyway, so I'm just mm-hmm. trying to fill my life with support for that little voice, and so I thought I should call in. Yeah, and just say that.
Right. And, yes, so it's time.
For yeah. That.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, very good.
Yeah. And I guess, the really big emotions I am starting to be able to see as something I can kind of sit with and let them kind of do their work on me, and kind of again try and see that as something that's also, you know, a positive journey.
Well, yes, Kate, in the sense that you're going to see a lot in this, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be when you're through with this, and we could say this even for a trip to the grocery store, but when you're finished with this, when you're to the other side, wherever that might be,
yeah.
you're going to be a completely different person.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, no, that is very exciting.
Yeah.
And then what comes with it is what we were talking about with your, with the other Kate,
mm-hmm.
Which is the voices that want to come in,
mm-hmm.
and take you out of the experience that you're having, put you in the future or the past, right? Because you can probably go through the, oh, my God, what did I do wrong? And then the future, probably nobody's ever going to love you again, and your life is really over, and you just don't have sense enough to realize. Yeah. And so, but if you, to the degree that you simply stay in the present, with mm-hmm. the experience that you're having, it's an incredible workshop.
Yeah. I do have a sense of that. And I guess mm-hmm. it's just, like you say, it's just that work of staying right with it and not going into those.
Yes, well,
memories.
And even going into it is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how you will see. So, you know, I can make those statements, right? I run those sentences together like that, and they do have the merit of being true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so easy for me to say because I know those experiences.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what you want for yourself.
Yeah.
You want to have your own direct experience, so that you don't have to be afraid of anything, starting with you.
Yeah.
You don't have to be afraid of how you feel. You don't have to be afraid of voices in your head that are hateful.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be afraid of the future. You don't have to be open to beatings about the mm-hmm. past. You don't need to have any of those experiences. And the only way we get to the place of being able to be all right with whatever is by practicing being all right with whatever is.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So you will, you will step in giant holes.
Yes.
And probably just be unutterably miserable, and then alternately ecstatically happy. And, because it's the process that you're in is a transition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. And then I already see also, like today I felt kind of okay, and then all of a sudden I also felt that like craving to feel okay, and that aversion and fear of that pain again, right? Of feeling like, oh, okay, now I have to do whatever I can to make sure I don't feel like I did yesterday.
Yeah, right. Which is, again, it's just those voices jerking you around.
Yeah.
Right? Now, I forgot to ask previous Kate if she has a recording and listening practice, but I will ask you. Do you have a recording and listening practice?
It's one of those things that I did for a while and then stopped doing for no good reason.
Well, I'm going to encourage you to start doing it again and do it with a vengeance.
Yeah.
Okay?
And
because you're going to need somebody to talk to a lot.
Yeah.
And listening to all of what goes on with you.
Mm.
You know, this is where we talk about her. You know, listening to what she's going through and being there with her is what transitions you from being identified with that ego and the suffering of the ego into the compassionate awareness that can be there for somebody who is in a big transition, whatever she's feeling, whatever she's going through, middle of the night, doesn't matter. Yeah.
So both like to just talk into the listening to, like I guess I used it before by like saying stuff that I wanted to hear myself say to myself. But are you suggesting also just to like talk into it, like about like I feel like
everything.
I screwed everything up, and I'm like even when I'm kind of identified in that place of.
Yeah, and you know we have that groovy website, recordingandlistening.org, and that's all written out. And it has lots and lots and lots of hints and suggestions and examples and that sort of thing. But one of the most powerful tools at a time like this is the two-handed recording, where you put the recorder in the right hand and you let whoever is there talk about however she's feeling. Now, of course, we never let self-hate get on the recorder, right?
Mm.
We never let those mean, abusive voices get the recorder and start talking.
Mm-hmm.
So there is. I just got a text, Kate, from somebody who said that there's a recording and listening class that is starting this Friday, and they have
won that.
Huh?
I think I should maybe try to join that.
Yeah. So write in if that's of interest to you. Because that'll be one of the things that you'll learn how to do, and you'll learn how to, put that recorder in the right hand and let her talk, and then put it in the left hand and listen, and you will get really grounded and skilled in becoming the unconditionally loving support that you're gonna really need for the next whatever period of time. Like the rest of your life, probably, because that's how long most of us need that.
Thank you. That makes me cry.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was really helpful, and it's such an honor and a huge something to be on open air after all these years.
After all these years. See, we could have been talking for years, but, you know, we're talking now, and so this must be the right time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if the class sounds good, find out about it. I think it's actually a bargain at this point. I think this is, because we're launching a part two of the recording and listening program, so I think we have these classes to get everybody up to speed on the part one. So that when they want to take the part two, they'll have the prerequisite behind them. So I think your timing is probably perfect.
It is.
Isn't that a comfort at a time like this?
It is, and I'm finding that stuff is coming up, and I'm just in a, like, say yes to these things place, and
right. You
know, coming up.
So it's beautiful. Very good. Very good. All right. Well, it's great getting to talk with you. Take good care of yourself.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All
goodbye.
Right. Don't be a stranger. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Kate, and another fabulous Kate conversation, Sherry. It's a great
two
privilege.
Kates, and neither one of them will be strangers from now on. You know, it's so interesting to me that, and we know this, you and I have known this for years, but it's still delightful when it becomes apparent, and that is the number of people who listen to Open Air, are out there listening to it year after year after year. Know us, know all these people who are practicing, and we have no idea they're out there. And then one day, they pop up, and it's just, it's delightful to hear from them.
It is delightful.
Anybody else in that club, give us a call.
Get in the queue. Great.
Yeah.
And you mentioned recording and listening, Sherry, and so I think that's a great segue into this ad coming up.
Oh, perfect.
For recording and listening.
Perfect.
Thanks, Sherry.
Right.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you. All right.
Recording and listening is one of the most powerful tools for ending suffering. RL is based on a radical idea that rather than being lost in a conversation and conditioned mind, we can live in a conversation about what's true, what's real, what's arising in life in the moment. With recording and listening, we develop the powerful skill of directing the attention, enabling us to access the wisdom, love, and compassion that is our authentic nature. We have a 6-week virtual class to train in this amazing tool and experience its benefits. Sangha who have taken this class are saying that learning to direct the attention opens up endless possibilities and so often provides clarity and hope. Others report that finding refuge in my own voice and strengthening the awareness of the mentor is both transformative and powerful. Now is a great time to sign up with a recording and listening trainer. This class is perfect for brand new folks and old timers alike. To sign up with an individual trainer, simply email rltrainer@livingcompassion.org. Please check the website for quarterly group classes as well. Experience the joy of presence with the support of recording and listening.
Welcome back to Open Air. And Sherry, I wanted to remind folks that there's an app for iPhone. It's called Practice Recorder, and it's great to support recording and listening practice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and that's on sale in the iPhone's App Store. And again, that's called Practice Recorder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Makes it easy.
Yes. Yes.
Well, I mean, it makes the technology part of it easy.
Yes.
The rest of it, we have to make easy.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And we have a new caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, this is Brian from North Carolina.
Hey, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, I wanted to call in and talk and look at basically my relationship with social media, and I find myself, I guess, projecting a lot of disappointment out on some of my friends and family with some of the things I see there, and I'm not sure how to deal with it or if I even need to deal with it. And so I've spent some time recording about it and struggling with it, so I decided to call in.
And so, always a good option, right? Bring it to practice. And so what happens? That people get on there and they tell you things that you wish you didn't know about them, or express things that you disagree with, or what?
Yeah,
what
things that are, maybe obviously or not obviously racist or divisive and offensive. And, they're... I want them to be different. I want them to be, so it's a perfect play for practice. I want it to be different. I don't want, and I know if there was a face-to-face conversation, we'd have a conversation, there'd be a connection, and I'm sort of stuck on the other end of the computer where, well, gosh, if I write something in disapproving, how do I communicate this in a way that is, or do I even need to? Is there even, is there any reason to be on this at all?
Yeah, that's such an interesting question, Brian. So the first part of it, we can often wish for a world before social media, where people face-to-face get together and tend not to express the kinds of things that people somehow feel almost obligated to express on social media.
Yeah. And, I don't know. I have the impression that it's just being expressed now, and it's part of the self-hate, egocentric karmic conditioning that people are dealing with all along, including me, mm-hmm. in a way that
yes.
I don't necessarily see.
Yes, except it used to not be so acceptable.
Yeah, people are practicing it.
Yes. Yeah. All the things that for a while people realized you just don't go into in society.
Yeah.
And now there seems to be a forum for it, and people just take into it like ducks to water, as they say. Yeah. And so the second part of your question was, so why be engaged with that at all?
Well, it's a good question. I don't, I haven't watched the news since maybe the first retreat I went to years and years and years ago. And I felt like that I was given permission not to watch the news anymore. And so I don't. And I've never regretted it. It was an hour of my life where I would get churned up and miserable. It's like, why do that to myself? It's not changing anything.
Mm-hmm. Are you still being a good citizen, though?
Well, there's
voting and all that.
There's something like this. So the ego conversation would want to be something like, well, if you really cared about other people, you would know what's going on. It's like, but I know this is a story, and I know it's not true because it wasn't like I went to Africa and did something wonderful there out of concern for it. I didn't do that. And so, but Sangha has, and so I participate that way. And that seems a lot better than watching the news.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so it feels like you can participate with people, with society, with your culture, with your country, with your world, without engaging in those ways that you get unhappy with.
Yeah, it's just, I know that there's not any changing the world out there, that what I'm here and able to do is to be here with this human being, however that works. Seeing that, it's like, I don't want people to think that, I can tone that. I don't want people to think that I think it's okay to just run over protesters and that they deserve that, and that, all of the backlash against the racism. Like, I don't want... And I don't, and that sounds, now that I'm saying a lot, like, it sounds like, oh, that's just about an ego that doesn't want that. And maybe that's true.
Well, I think not running over people is not necessarily a terribly egocentric orientation to life.
Right. And so that was something that was posted recently. Someone was like, well, they have that coming. If they're protesting in the street, they have it coming. And the police in Seattle need to just stand up and eliminate a few of the protesters, and that would end all of our problems. I this is a person that I have a professional relationship, and I face to face, I don't think, you know, I think like it would be much closer to heart to heart that way. Like, I think I could have a conversation about, wow, so that, wait, what are you saying? Help me out here, because I don't understand that.
Right.
But on the internet, I don't know what, anything.
But you think you would, Brian, or do you think that those kinds of things just wouldn't come up? You know, to me, that's one of the big difficulties that people are running into with social media. You know, if you and I had a professional relationship, when we got together, remember those days when we could actually get together, we would not probably ever get to expressing that kind of opinion.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't come up. But on social media, it's possible just to write something that do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that seems to me like the difficulty. All of these things just wouldn't come up. You and I would not have a conversation. Now, if we were really good friends and we went out to dinner or we went on long hikes together or whatever it was, then, you know, we might talk about the kinds of things that trouble us, or, you know, I might talk about the civil unrest in this country is really frightening to me. I you know, and if I were really in touch with what's going on, I might say, you know, I feel really threatened by that. And part of me really wants these people to stop it, and whatever it takes to stop them, I just want them to stop because it makes me so uncomfortable. But otherwise, we're just not going to get there. But on social media, you can get there with every person you know in no time flat, because that's the tone of the conversation.
Yeah, and so the voice says that so I would like to just not be there, not get out of there. But like the voice says, if I do that, then I'm condoning it, or that I'm cowardly somehow. And
well,
you know, practice.
Do you feel the need to participate in that?
Well, so there's something happening when I moved. When I began working for a living, I noticed that often whenever the room was only full of white people, that something derogatory would be said about people who aren't white. Or if the room was only full of men, generally white men, but maybe not, then something would be said derogatory about women. And so I sort of took it upon myself to always say something. And all that happened was people stopped saying it in front of me and probably resented it. And it didn't actually create any change, but it sort of seemed like something good happened, but it didn't. I know it didn't. I can look back at that and say, oh, that was just, in a sense, it was almost like do-goodering. There wasn't any engagement. There wasn't.
Well, you know, Brian, here's what occurs to me about this whole conversation, and that is that you're trying to figure out something. And what I keep hearing over and over is that you have an impulse towards something.
Yes.
And then a voice comes in basically to use practice against you. Oh, well, you're just being a do-gooder. Oh, well, you know, that's just coming from that. Or what makes you think that? And that conversation is probably along the lines of what you'll find on social media, but I doubt it's ever going to move you away from suffering.
Yeah.
So if you look at how you want to do things from the clearest place that you can get to, and that's what you want to do, then you do that. And what doesn't operate you is a voice that says, well, you're just trying to, whatever it is. Because that's ego. There's no confusion about that.
Yeah. And well, and that's the, and so, yes. And so, and that's, you know, and that's what I'm calling is bring it back to practice because I know.
That's right. And here's the second piece of it, okay? There is absolutely no reason anybody needs to be on social media. People survived just fine before social media.
Yeah.
People wrote to each other. People talked on the phone, okay? And so if you don't choose to be on social media, well, then you'll just have to work out how you want to be in relationship with the people that you want to be in relationship with. And you get to do that.
Yeah.
And you don't need to answer to any voice in your head about what it means that you are making the choices that you're making for your life.
Yeah. Yes, because it spins right out into should and shouldn't and can't, or, and I can't say anything to that person because they won't, you know, it totally spins out of it. It's no longer here and now,
right.
Almost instantly.
And so here's the third part of it that might be fun to do. Just turn it all off for a month.
Yeah.
If you haven't watched the news since the first retreat you went on,
yeah,
it might be time to give yourself a little break from social media and just see what happens.
You know, I really only use it for business to advertise events, and we're not having events, so it's...
There you go.
It's really... That does seem like a kindness, you know?
And, you know, you could just put that on out there. You could just say, you know what? Since nothing is happening here to be in contact with people about, I thought it would be a perfect time to take a little break from all of the technology and just spend more time in nature of whatever the heck you want to tell people. And then, you know, give me a call. Shoot me an email. Love to catch up. See what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so great that, like, that's sort of like just like the resistance to doing that, like even though that's what I want to do. I don't even want to be there. Like I don't watch the news.
Yeah,
why?
That's not what ego wants to do.
What I do that? Yeah.
Yeah, ego doesn't want you to do that. Ego wants you to be in the conversation.
Yeah, to keep noodling over whether I should do it or not. It doesn't
that's
care.
That's exactly right. That's
it
exactly right. Yes, and again with the you know the one that I laugh about was in a precepts retreat not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics nor assist others to do so, and the person starts in, well, but you know it's not like I'm an alcoholic. I mean, I might have a glass of wine with dinner, you know, maybe a couple of glasses of wine with dinner, you know, but it's not. And they just keep on talking until finally their eyes clear and they get to something like, you know, maybe this is a bigger deal than I thought.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's when we get to step up and say, okay, I'm gonna make a change here just to find out.
Yeah, that seems kind.
Oh, forget kind. Let's just go with interesting.
Yeah. Well, because I see that conversation like it's like, oh, if you say this, then they'll be that way. Or if you say that, then they'll be that. Like, it doesn't know anything. The conversation, it's just
no.
I want
it's just
it
to keep
stop
you
things.
In the conversation.
Yeah.
To keep you in the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has nothing to do with them. There isn't even a them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. You can do this. Let
yes.
me know.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
Yes. Go happy.
Go happy. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Brian. And wow, we were blessed tonight, Sherry. Another amazing conversation. Fascinating.
Oh, it's so much fun to pay attention, isn't it?
Yes, yes. It's all fascinating. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you.
All right.
And thanks to all of our callers and all of our listeners. And go happy.
Yeah, go happy. Let's do it again sometime.
All right, next week. Talk to you then.
All right, thanks, Michael. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.